Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, a science journalist and blogger talks about the decision to share her experience of a painful miscarriage with thousands of readers. And a podcast by public media up-and-comer throws out the tote bag for pledge model of fundraising and dives headphones first into crowdsourcing for cash. But we begin with the return of the human being. Among those blamed for the decline of old media are aggregate sites like BuzzFeed and Tumblr, populated by algorithms and audience participation. These are the places that readers go for a quick hit of the latest soundbite or viral story. There is still hope for actual human beings in digital media, says our guest. Dorian Bencoil is partner at Teeming Media, and he points to several popular websites hiring top journalism talent to manage content. It's a new trend, he wrote about in his column for PBS's blog Media Shift. Dorian, great to have you back on Word of Mouth.
Nice to be back, Virginia.
So help us understand this distinction between sites that are, you call them, developer-driven and those that are editorially driven.
Well, the thing I find most fascinating is that a lot of the sites that have been developer-driven have reached a point where they say, well, we would like to have some editorial talent so that, you know, it's not just very talented engineers and coders and developers that they're hiring. They're now hiring some people with editorial chops, as we say in the business.
And this, after the hemorrhaging of many journalism jobs in recent years, this shift of companies hiring actual humans, journalists, editors to manage their feed, which companies are we talking about first?
Well, Facebook has done it. Tumblr, Flipboard, which is a very well-known app for reading. And even an ad network, you mentioned BuzzFeed in your introduction. They've hired journalists from some of the higher-profile journalism organizations. And even an ad network I read about in the piece called Say Media has been buying editorially driven sites and hiring people to run those sites at a very high editorial level.
So, Dorian, is this just tech companies becoming sort of media companies? I mean, what's the shift here?
Well, what I see is that I think this is again my observation. I haven't done a large scientific study to prove my inferences, but what I see from being in the industry, going to conferences, talking to a lot of people, is that a lot of tech companies have reached a point where the algorithmically driven, the purely code driven, has gotten them to a certain point, but for the next level of differentiation, they need a kind of creativity and a kind of input and a kind of understanding of human emotion and whimsy and other things that machines just don't have, at least not yet.
It's got to cost a lot of money for this kind of top-level talent that you wrote about. So what is driving this? I mean, is it the idea that we're going to distinguish ourselves from all of the fray?
That's part of it. That's certainly part of it. It's you know, it's, okay, we reached a certain point with our code. How are we going to attract people through social media? How are we going to get people to share stuff? How are we going to have that something, that intangible that makes people like this, makes them emotional about it, makes them want to do more with it? And so you have to have top talent to do that, and sometimes that talent is expensive, although I would point out that expensive editorial talent is still cheaper than expensive engineering talent.
Mm. What makes them think that we want them? I mean, Tumblr, BuzzFeed, Facebook all became popular for their kind of ground-up, often offbeat content posted by ordinary people.
Right. And as I say, they get a certain amount from that. They get a certain amount of content. There's certain, you know, what's called user-generated content gives you a lot of breadth, a lot of sharing, a lot of play. But it doesn't necessarily give you that kind of viral sharing, that kind of uptick, that kind of huge boost that you get from something where somebody is professionally looking at what can I do using the tools, using the technical tools, using the measurement tools to try to do things that will either create things or aggregate things or both in a way that makes people really want to share this with a friend. People may not even be aware that what they're sharing has ultimately in its initial stages been created and aggregated and curated by a human being, by a top editorial talent, that was the purpose of what they were trying to do. but the people who are very talented at this get talented. On the other side, you know, I think, you know, you referred to the sort of state of journalism where people have felt that it's been languishing and the jobs have been eliminated. But I think the market, to some extent, has been correcting itself. So you have people like, I'll mention a name, Vadim Lavrusic at Facebook, mm-hmm. or the editor-in-chief who just got hired at Tumblr, who are people who have been training themselves in the latest digital techniques and how to work together with the technology to, you know, they have the editorial principles where they use those principles in a strong way, but they also use the technology to help them optimize what they're doing while not forgetting the creative side of it.
When it comes to online aggregators run by people, however, we think of sites like the Huffington Post, mm-hmm. Combines aggregation with original editorial. And it's a site certainly perceived to have a particular left lean, I'd say. Are these digital media companies risking being labeled or limited by adding editors to their staffs?
Well, I mean, if what your inference is that the Huffington Post is left-leaning, and therefore somebody has to take a little...
I said it was perceived as that, certainly.
Okay. All right. Well, certainly point of view can help a lot. Same Media, which I mentioned before, actually talks about point of view marketing. And the CEO and president acknowledge that sometimes you do end up ticking people off if you take a point of view, but at the same time, point of view is what gets people talking and gets people moving. And so point of view doesn't necessarily mean political point of view, but it does mean sometimes taking a stand and sometimes saying where you stand. You know, your next guest talking about her abortion certainly mm-hmm. is doing that. You know, it's exposing your opinions, your notions, your conjectures, and not necessarily trying to be completely what we call objective.
Dorian, I want to thank you for filling us in on this, a really interesting development that you've been tracking. Thanks again.
Thanks, Virginia.
Dorian Benkoil, he's partner of the consulting group Teaming Media, also a columnist for PBS's Media Shift, and you will find a link to his post there on the return of the human touch to digital media. That's at the decidedly people-powered wordofmouthradio.org.